Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Agreement to come to council for community health Northwest Florida to take donation of one of the three buildings that we had added on to our Baptist donation to provide low-cost health care and dental in the community. So lawyers were finishing up on the last minute things. None of any concern. Certainly if the administration, if we had our way, we would have this on the next week's council agenda. I believe the council had voted to do a workshop on these parcels. I would fully expect, and I can't speak for council, I fully expect that the council is going to be supportive of the idea of bringing health care back.
So Mayor yesterday, Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday during his press conference talking about the agreement. Remember, the idea was to take one of these three buildings that's available at Baptist, not part of the demolition, not part of the main campus, and let that become a healthcare facility of some kind, thus sort of finally bringing to fruition the original promise that there would still be healthcare on that site. Well, you know, Community Health Northwest Florida is apparently willing, eager, have talked about it with their board, as he said, in public, not just behind closed doors, or what the socialists will accuse D.C. Reeves of doing, backdoor secret deals. Yeah, it just cracks me up. All of the loaded language for everything that they use. It's so silly. It's, you know, I know I pick on them a lot, but you know they deserve it too, right? Like, I used to teach logic, and so you get used to, and, you know, ethics, and you get used to reading student papers that are, you know, flamboyantly reasoned, but let's say, flamboyantly worded, but let's say a little short on the reason. So, anyway, it's always some backroom deal. It's always some smoke-filled chamber. It's always some, you know, very exciting way of describing the fact that, well, the mayor was out making sure that an end result happened by talking to people, which doesn't sound like a very exciting thing to accuse somebody of, but that is also a way to describe the fact. So the mayor says, look, we're ready to do this. Let's go. But there's a problem, not of his making.
I hate the idea of having to waste 3 weeks waiting on that, at least for this particular parcel.
Why would he have to wait 3 weeks to do it? Well, do you remember when the city council got upset that they, you know, weren't involved in this enough and didn't get consulted enough and didn't get informed enough and nobody asked for their permission all the time? And so the mayor was engaged in this discussion and then they said, whoa, we want to have a special meeting about this. And they're allowed to, which they've done. But by having to have a special meeting, we have to wait for that to be scheduled, and then there has to be another meeting after that, and then there has to be another meeting after that. So we have to wait, you know, several weeks now, more. Now, granted, it wasn't like they were going to open tomorrow, but whatever the timeline was for them to get open, they have to wait until, you know, city council does their thing. So why are we having to wait longer to get a result that the mayor was working on that he kind of tried to tell him, you guys, you don't need to have this meeting. I'll just come back to you with an approval of this thing. It's not like we can do it without your approval. All we got to do is ask for your approval. No. We want to have a discussion. Okay. I mean, well, you know, that is your prerogative, and that means a delay.
Even if the other two were workshopped, but again, council vote, you have to respect that. And so they will have their workshop on these three parcels. You'll have to check with Don or with Allison on what the exact date would be for that. But it's now, it looks like, our hope is to bring the donation agreement and the other corresponding items. I think there's three in total to make it work. But the three items for the donation to community health will be during the second meeting in March is what it's looking like now after the workshop. And assuming that the workshop doesn't come back with the lack of support for healthcare and for the underserved community, which I can't expect that that would be the case.
I wouldn't think city council would bungle this in the end, but, you know, they've asked for the choice to weigh in. You never know what might happen. You got to let, you know, any given Sunday or any given Thursday, as the case may be. Meanwhile, you remember all of the big drama over the CDBG Community Development Block Grant money. This is money that was, you know, has to go to help poor people. But it was, you know, going to be for demolishing building houses. OK, and then that money got redirected towards the port, towards helping rebuild the rail and some of the infrastructure there that makes the jobs possible. But people argued that we're just spending money to the rich people at American Magic and we're not helping the poor people. And the mayor said, we tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, but there is a time limit on when we can expend these funds. And if we don't get them spent in time, we just lose them. So we might as well spend them on another also very good project that maybe doesn't fit what you want to have happen enough. Cities around the state have had a really hard time satisfying these grants or these financial restrictions on these monies and proving that they're right. And so our advice basically from the state of Florida was, hey, why not move to something that you can get done? Also expect to get zero extensions anymore. No more extensions. And the chance of you getting this money done in time was 0.0%. You remember this conversation? And it's not that the mayor wanted to stop doing the housing slice of this. It's that, well, we couldn't get it done at this point. There were changes in personnel. There's a whole lot of backstory here. But eventually we got to a point where he felt like the information they're getting from the state meant that there was no way to get this done. So let's actually use the money instead of losing the money, but let's just use it on something that doesn't appeal to people as much. Again, the red shirt socialist showed up, pitched a fit, and claimed that he was doing all this nefarious stuff. So now he shows, and by the way, behind the scenes working again, dang it. I mean, in a smoke-filled room, a secret meeting, out of the sunshine. You know, the sunshine doesn't apply to the mayor that way, right? I mean, he can have meetings with anybody, including city council. Sunshine applies to records with him, but it does not apply to meetings because there's nobody else on the mayor's council. Anyway, terrible, horrible backroom deals where he's trying everything he can in Tallahassee and in Washington, D.C. to twist arms, pull in favors, and get something done that accomplishes the goal that people clearly want, that the city council clearly wanted because they put off this vote also, to approve the funding. So let's try to get housing done somehow.
It's a general breakdown. We'll obviously get this to you guys. $3.5 million of the $5.8 million will still go back to housing initiatives within Florida Commerce. $1 million will go to the home repair and rehabilitation, the original program that will be managed by our city housing department. That's enough money to have an impact, certainly, and enough money that we can be able to get it executed under the deadline. $1 million will now go to the voluntary home buyout program. Same thing, it's Hurricane Sally related. So this is for homes that might be in front areas. It's a voluntary home buyout. So if it's something that the home buyer wants to do, compared to the home repair program, there's much more flexibility in being able to get that done. It's a much cleaner transaction than the home repair aspect. So moving $1 million to that.
Yeah, so win. This is a win. This is doing what people wanted him to do, what he's been trying to do, but had not thought it was possible to do. And so this is a win.
Then $1.5 million. In partnership with Escambia County, we mentioned this before, to support their existing rebuild program. So this is tear downs and rebuilds. We're already doing that at the city. In fact, we just visited one of the recipients last week. We're doing that with some of our traditional programs, but that $1.5 million to Escambia County will allow for approximately six tear down and rebuilds to take place inside the city limits. But that's a program that they already have moving. So it allows us to kind of jump on the train with them and ensure that we get it done in time. So, and then the final 2.3 would be the previously approved port infrastructure program.
And we're still going to put the money over on the port, and I'm sure somebody will kick and scream about all that. But the other part of this, in case you don't remember, was the complaint that here we have American Magic coming and all of the rich people involved in that and spending money on the port, even though it's a completely unrelated spend. It has nothing to do with American Magic. You know, there's a lot of other things that happen at the port. So here, you know, spending money on other port things related to, I believe it was Sally damage. I'm like 90% sure, but I hate to say it as if it's true and then be wrong about it. But this is, you know, fixing damage that was done to, you know, grounds and rail and that kind of stuff from Sally. Fixing that because that's important for, you know, economic activity and jobs. But the argument that was given by members of the public and by city council was, well, it's a bad look. You know, it's a bad look, and we can't explain to people how these are two different things. So we just have to live with the fact that if we spend this money on the port, it's going to look like we're helping the rich sailboat people when they're really two fundamentally different things. And oh, by the way, that money actually is required to be used on things that help, you know, low income folks. Mayor, by the way.
And I just mentioned this as a reminder because it got lost during the council meeting with some colleagues that every single dollar.
With some colleagues. I'm not going to name you dummies.
Every single dollar of any of these Hurricane Sally funds had to be proven that they are positively impacting low income. So whether it's Hollis T. Williams, whether it's the port, or whether it's housing, all of those different programs where we were given money during the Sally HUD CDBG conversations all had to meet the litmus test that it was providing for low income. So the road and rail project certainly does that with the hundreds of jobs that we have on port to help support those efforts.
So, by the way, it wasn't to help the rich people ever. But okay. And listen, I think you could make the case that if this is a better outcome than what was going to be done with the money before, in part it was a better outcome because, you know, somebody, a lot of people pitched a fit and then the mayor had to go back to work four times as hard to try to, you know, pull in every favor to leverage every relationship and, you know, make this happen. Okay. Okay, make the case. That's fine. But I'm always a fan of, you know, make the argument based on reality, not based on exaggeration and, you know, well, the optics are going to look bad. Well, then explain to people why the optics are mistaken, which is, I mean, kind of, John, what I try to do on the show as much as I can. 437-1620, that's my phone number if you want to weigh in on anything. Also, Reimagine Palafox, very much on track to finish and lots of elements of it coming together, even maybe a little bit ahead of schedule.
Reimagine Palafox, we do have Adrian here if you've got any technical questions, but just quickly, the storm infrastructure install is about 70% complete, should be 100% complete by April 3rd. The curb and gutter installation is about halfway done, and that should be done by April 24th. And then the irrigation on Palafox is about 40% done and should be complete by April 10th. And if you've been walking around down there, you see the paver installation has already begun. At several different locations.
I was actually downtown yesterday briefly. I didn't do a lot of looking at Palafox. I had seen it on gallery night. It's coming along very well. And it occurred to me, you know how a big thing that you're going to do that's going to take several months when it hasn't happened yet sounds so horrifying and terrible and awful. And I'm not trying to minimize the effect on businesses that this is certainly having, although we've also done a lot to mitigate that. But we're like halfway there. We're halfway done. And by the percentages, well ahead of halfway on several big elements of the project, you know, in a few more weeks, 2 months, it'll all be over. The baby will be here. We'll have a beautiful street. It'll handle flood water better. Everything will be better. And then you will look back and say, well, that wasn't so bad. But it's like everything. It's human nature. Okay. Oh, this big thing is so terrible and you're misspending the money and you're on the secret meetings and the smoke-filled rooms. It's always the same nonsense. You're only helping the rich people downtown. Well, do you go downtown? Well, sure I do, but what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. Hypocrisy. Anyway, so, it's, you know, it's going to be over very soon. And again, I don't want to minimize that this is having effect on businesses. I'm sure that it is. And I'm sure that to them, it's like, yeah, but we still have halfway to go. Okay, and it's not done yet. Okay, fair enough. But, you know, we're so freaked out about things, and then we just do them, and we're like, okay, well, I guess maybe that wasn't so bad after all. And boy, the result's kind of nice. 823 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a need to get that next vehicle, or you're just thinking about it, and listen, if you're like me, and maybe you're not, I mean, maybe you're like John. John, he wakes up in the morning. He's like, can I go shopping for a new car? I don't know. It's weird. He's strange. But true, John, right? That's exciting to you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's so weird to me. I hate looking for a new car because I get very accustomed to the one I've got. And, it's a known. It might not be perfect, but it's a known. Well, I put off looking at the new thing because I know it's going to cost money. I know I'm going to hate the process. I know I'm going to have to talk to all these salespeople. They're so annoying. And, you know, figure out which one and wrangle and argue and figure out if it's the right one and all that stuff. Okay. I get it. So you put it off longer. I put it off a lot longer than I should, and then you're spending money on repairs you shouldn't have sunk money into because you're throwing good money after bad and all that. If that's you, I mean, go look at Frontier Motors. Go look. Hey, maybe you look and you discover that the kind of cars you want that would solve your problems better and make you have a car you would really enjoy, maybe you can't afford it. I don't know. I mean, maybe it'd be too high of a payment, and you keep sinking good money after bad money into a car you should already have replaced a year ago. Maybe, okay? On the other hand, you might look and be like, that's it? Done. You know, and also, oh, this car's nice. You know, because you should feel that way instead of waking up in the morning unsure if the car is going to work today, embarrassed about how it looks or how it drives, and wondering what new repair is going to be needed for $1,000 next week. You know how these things go. So just go to Frontier and look around. Maybe you find out you're good where you're at. Maybe you find out there's a good way to move forward. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we have everything you need to know about the Sun Belt basketball tournament that is in town, how your kids can be at Fan Fest, and the Dribble Drive.
Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola Right Now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
As you know, Monty, Vaughn's been working on a couple of new pitches, the Eliminator and the Humiliator, to complement his fastball, the Terminator.
I heard that.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Coming at you hard with four solid hours of Grandpa Rock. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I will never, ever recover from that insult. Never, ever recover.
I could tell it's still bothering
it
you.
It absolutely does. How dare you call Nine Inch Nails Minor Threat, Smashing Pumpkins, and R.E.M. Grandpa Rock? What's wrong with you, boy? Somebody didn't raise you right.
I know. That's your child.
Me. David Wayne is in the new... the other day, if you didn't catch the story, we were talking about this yesterday. The story started with a conversation about Rage Against the Machine. And he said, Dad, you're so right. I was talking with a group of people, and we're talking about Rage Against the Machine and how you always say that, you know, they have one good song that they played 43 different ways. And, you know, like, it's... And he's like, even the big fans of Rage Against the Machine that I was talking with, they totally agree with you. I'm like, see? And then we started talking about other music, and he said, I don't know your music so much. I said, what's my music? He said, Grandpa Rock, and I wanted to pass out for a year. So,
Well, the good news is I spoke to Austin yesterday.
Oh, okay, all right. And
Austin was like, no, it's 90s country. It's not Grandpa Rock, Grandpa Country or Grandpa Rock. That's your dad's stuff.
This doesn't help me at all. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Better. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump says the U.S. Navy may start escorting oil tankers as gas prices are starting to rise across the U.S. The president posted that the Navy may join the tankers through the Strait of Hormuz if necessary. Nearly a fifth of the world's oil travels through the Strait of Hormuz, and Iran says that they plan to target any vessels using the waterway.
You know why we can do that, right? They don't have a Navy anymore.
That is true.
Ooh.
We destroyed 17 of their ships so far. They don't target have a practice. Navy. They don't have the... Remember, so crazy.
But they
remember
do they have used a lot of new artificial reefs, which
remember they built the, like, fake aircraft carrier and then targeted their missiles against it and showed how powerful they were? They could blow up a fake aircraft carrier in the middle of the desert? Apparently, they overestimated their capabilities. Anyway, go ahead, David.
The father of a Georgia high school shooting suspect has been found guilty on all counts for contributing to the alleged actions of his son. Colin Gray was charged with second-degree murder after his son shot 11 people and killed four. This was at the Appalachian High School back in 2024. Prosecutors say Gray supplied the weapon, even though there were signs that his son would inflict harm with it.
All right, very good, David. News Radio is proud to have the Sun Belt Conference coming to Pensacola. Now, basically, you can see the big basketballs out in front of the Bay Center. Listen to win tickets all this week on News Radio 92.3. Plus, Navy Days is coming May 8th, starting that weekend at the Naval Aviation Museum.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Israeli military launching new airstrikes overnight targeting Iran's capital and air defense systems.
The Israeli Air Force says for the first time since the 1980s, one of their planes was in a dogfight in the air, was able to shoot down one of the Iranian fighter jets that was over the capital of Tehran.
And Fox's Trey Yanks in Tel Aviv. Democrats in Texas choose a Senate candidate for November.
James Tallarico defeated Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett in that hotly contested primary. In a victory speech, Tallarico said he was going to take back Texas. Jasmine Crockett, meantime, cited voting issues in Dallas and said that, in her words, people have been disenfranchised.
Fox's Doug Luzader, incumbent Senator John Cornyn, and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton would clash in a runoff in May. Neither picked up 50% of the vote. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it's a nice start to our morning. We've got 59 degrees right now with clear skies. We'll get to our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. Well, Mayor D.C. Reeves says a 130-page study on the Bay Center should be released by the end of the week. The mayor said he received the draft version of that report over the weekend and is waiting on the final survey data to be integrated into it.
The Bay Center, we have a, as of yesterday afternoon, a draft version of the report that we're waiting on some final information from some of the survey data. I was able to see some of that as well, the raw data, but it's just integrating those two things. So you guys, I would expect by the end of the week, we'll have a report out to the county commissioners and to you guys with all of the details in it.
And Mayor Reeves said he met or he is meeting with the Council President Jennifer Patton and Escambia County Board Chair Ashley Hofberger to discuss the timeline and logistics. A joint meeting was being planned for the end of the month. The report will inform decisions about renovating or replacing the Bay Center and any additions there. Well, local veterans that served in Iraq say the U.S. strikes on Iran were long overdue, pointing back to the 1979 hostage crisis at the root of that conflict.
When they've got nuclear weapons and they chant, you know, death to America, then are we going to sit and wait for something to happen? We have more capability if we strike first than if we conduct a retaliatory strike. So personally, I am for, you know, the decision to go in and take them out.
And Channel 3 talked with retired Army Command Sergeant Major Curtis Wesson. He served 32 years in his career and some of that during the Gulf War. A CNN poll taken over the weekend claimed that 59% of Americans disapprove of the initial decision to launch strikes against Iran. Pensacola's new police chief, Eric Winstrom, had his first day on the job this week. He started on Monday. Mayor D.C. Reeves said Winstrom spent time at City Hall and the police department and visited the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and Emergency Operations Center. Reeves says he's looking forward to getting Winstrom acclimated, not just inside city buildings, but out in the community as well. The mayor said residents will be seeing more and more of the new police chief here in the weeks and months ahead. Well, traffic concerns in Santa Rosa County are growing. Chris Bryan says residents are being asked to get involved. The push to secure funding for the widening of Highway 90 in Milton is a growing concern. Local leaders say the congestion and the rapid growth in the area are getting worse. The transportation planning and the Transportation and Planning Organization is holding three upcoming meetings. Residents that want to see a solution can make plans to attend those meetings to have their voices heard. It is 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a nice day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 74 degrees. Temperatures tonight dropping near 61 degrees. For Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 73. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Heading into Friday, 20% chance of rain, high near 75. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is right now 59 degrees. We've got clear skies. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
This spring, you can share more than a meal. You can share hope. For as little as $2.75, you can provide a nourishing meal to a hungry neighbor, serve with love and compassion, reflecting the love of Christ. A single meal opens the door to healing, recovery, employment, and housing, helping restore lives and renew hope throughout the year. Answer the call this season. Give hope today at waterfrontmission.org.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now in studio, we've got Chip Simmons, who is the sheriff for Escambia County. This is 2 weeks in a row, Sheriff, where we have to start off talking about how awesome you are.
Only two?
Yeah, only. Well, you know,
there goes your
first
ratings.
Sheriff to run unelected, unopposed for election.
Most tried the unelected part.
Yeah, unelected, whatever, you know.
How did he get here?
Welcome back to the show, by the way. Gets a big award the prior week, and then just this last week, he wins the Pioneer Award for the Pace Area Chamber Excellence Awards, or the Pensacola Area Chamber Excellence Awards. So, well done, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate that.
Is this the last one? Because once you get the Pioneer, you're done, right?
Yeah, that's. I think this is the way they kind of set you, you know, move on to the back there and the backfield there.
Pace Award Emeritus now, yeah. You know. Yeah. Did they give you like a purple blazer like the DeLunas do when you get a Pioneer?
I wish they would. I could That'd use some blazers. Cool.
you'd use them in the Blazer Academy,
yeah, we
right?
Certainly obviously. Save some money there.
All right. Let's talk about yesterday. NAS Pensacola had announced that there was some kind of an incident going on the base at lockdown, subsequently opened back up. There was some kind of an unauthorized incursion by a person. We don't have a lot of details, but they worked with you, as is the case, because you're there to help and bolster their ability to respond. So what happened?
Well, I can't speak for NAS. They've already put out their statement, but I can tell you what I can tell you. And that is that there was an individual that I'll say wandered ashore on NAS. I won't tell you where because that's their business. But he claimed to have been in a boat that had capsized, and that's why he was wandering onto their shores.
Okay.
He fled from them, and then sometime later we got out, or we were about to get out with an individual that fit that description off of Gulf Beach Highway. And when we turned our car around to get out with him, he fled.
Okay.
And so what we did is we set up a perimeter.
By the way, just I know people know, but get out with means that you have seen somebody, you're in your car, you're going to get out and confront them, talk to them, and engage them.
Get out
That's
of
just
car
the way you guys say
and,
it. Okay.
And interact with this individual. It's just, talk to him or interrogate him in some cases. So in this case, he ran.
Where were you when you encountered him?
Off of Gulf Beach Highway.
On the other side of the water.
Right, on the other side.
Right. Okay. All right. Interesting story so far.
So now we're trying to think, okay, this guy's missed the description. Let's try to figure out if this is the same person that they had encountered on board the base. We set up a perimeter, had drones up, had dogs up, because it'll be a big wooded area where we were at. And what we did is used our in-car cameras and took a picture of him and a still shot of him, compared that with the individual that they saw on NAS, and confirmed it was the same person. And then we also noticed it was the same person we had gotten out with or had an encounter with the night before.
Okay.
He's also a suspect in a burglary. We believe he's a homeless guy in one of those encampments over there. And so we have identified him. We are working on he has warrants on him for fleeing from our deputies in the past, and also a suspect in a burglary case from February. So I'll give you his name here. Let's see. Joseph Valinsky is his name, born 87. So we're going to be putting a couple more warrants on him. And we again, working with NAS police and NAS NCIS.
Yeah.
And we do feel like we've identified the individual.
So he's wanted for other things. Then yesterday morning, he winds up on NAS Pensacola, somewhere on the shore. They encounter him. He flees, gets away, gets on a boat. Gets on a kayak. He doesn't swim the water, does he, back to the other side? Like, how did he get across? Was he wet when you got him?
Well, Andrew, if we'd have talked to him, then we'd know that information.
All right, okay.
No, we don't know. All I know is that our deputy, again, being on the lookout, as we do, and in the area, basically, saw him, turned our car around to get out with him or talk to him, and then he fled into the wood area before we can get out with him.
Okay.
So we do know where he is.
So he's still wanted.
He's still wanted. We'll find him here. We'll probably find him today. We'll have an extra warrant on him today, maybe even a burglary warrant from the investigation from February. We have no reason to believe at this point he's a terrorist threat,
right.
Even though I'm not a counterterrorism expert.
Sure.
He seems to be an individual that's living out there in the woods.
Well, he just found a nice, quiet place where he could rest, you know, where nobody was going to bother him in the woods across the water on this weird island.
Well, he would have had to have gone across the bridge, to your point.
Yeah.
Back across the bridge, wandered across the bridge, I guess, or swam.
Right.
Or taken whatever boat.
Some mechanism,
been,
right.
You know, canoe of some sort. Because while it's not the longest stretch.
It's not the most hidden either.
It's long. Fast-moving, swift-moving water at times as well.
Yeah. We had what I would describe as a fairly minor, but a burglary vandalism at Olive Baptist Church that you guys dealt with, right?
Well, yeah, first I just got a text from Todd Thompson, who's over the chamber, and saying, we're not giving you a blazer. Thank you, Andrew. You ruined
it for
me.
I mean, take that up with Todd. I don't know what the problem is. You know,
what a hat, Todd.
Seems kind of petty, Todd.
Yeah.
Fine.
Can't afford a jacket. Whatever.
You could be the first one. It could be like that they started it with you.
All they got to figure out is the color.
Yeah.
I've got a blue one.
Easy. Okay. All right. Anyway, Olive Baptist Church.
Yeah, this guy tries to throw some heavy items through the window at Olive Baptist Church, and obviously we get a call out there, and we end up catching him and arresting him and charging with attempted burglary. We took him to get evaluated as well.
Okay. And then we have what might be described as the most entertaining or weirdest story of the week. I'll let you choose how you want to describe this, but Reese Rutledge, 36-year-old Reese Rutledge, was, he was engaged in what you might describe as serial self-abuse.
We got a call because this individual was at least exposing himself, and there was a mother and there was also a child in a school bus and that sort of thing.
Around scary
there.
And bad.
So, and then he was gone from that specific location whenever we got there, but we weren't going to let that go, obviously. We went and found him, positive identified him, and lo and behold, he also had just gotten out of jail for a similar offense, in which he was doing that same manipulation inside another store. And so,
a Dunkin' Donuts.
A Dunkin' Donuts, yeah. And so we charged him with a felony, and our hope is that he is incarcerated for as long as the judge can possibly do it, because listen, once is too many, once, twice, two times certainly is too many. And as I understand it, he has a rather long, extensive criminal history. And I think that he needs, A, to go to jail, to prison for a while, and B, he needs some evaluation.
Well, and the most recent incident was just, 11 days after he'd been released for the Dunkin' Donuts incident. So,
and that's just the ones that were reported.
Right. That's what you know of, and that's what you've caught for or charged with, right? So
that's exactly right.
Yeah. I'm 10 inside. it's funny, but it's also a real serious problem because it's weird, it's disgusting, and people with kids and moms and families, and this one incident was by a school bus, stop.
Yeah.
It's funny until it's really not funny, because people do horrible things. And so I agree with you. I'm glad. Do you, to a degree, this comes in the context of, people who do things over and over of various kinds, and you feel like there's nothing you can do except continually arresting them. I know this is always an issue. I've talked about this many times, but, is this a case where you feel like, sort of the system hasn't upheld its end of the bargain of protecting the citizens from somebody who clearly is unable to, stop themselves from bad behavior?
I don't think that mental illness is something that would be new to people. If I say, hey, a lot of the homeless population appears to be mentally ill, I don't think many people would be disturbed at that or surprised. And so we deal with this a lot. And I know I talked a lot about whenever I was chief corrections officer that 2/3 of people that were in the infirmary were there because of mental health issues.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important for us to understand what needs to be done here. Now, law enforcement traditionally is, you did the crime, you're going to go to jail, period. We're not mental health counselors. We're not the people that can decide you go to a state mental facility or you go to a local facility or a step-down facility. We're not the ones that decide that. However, we are the ones that always get the call.
Yeah.
We are the ones that have to deal with quite frankly, everything. And we have to make decisions on this and Baker Act or whether we just arrest them and then let the court decide whether they're competent to stand trial. And you've heard over the time, we had the individual that shot up or one of our deputies, shot him 5 or 6 times, and he was going to get out of jail because he was mentally incompetent at the time, they say. And I was upset about that ordeal, right? And so there's other cases like that where people hurt somebody, and yet for some reason they're allowed to just come back out and in some capacity into our community. So my point is something does need to be done, and it's not cheap. It's not a cheap resolution to this thing, because their mental health is an experience expensive just like other procedures are. So where do we go from here? Is it a law enforcement issue? It certainly seems to be more
and more. You're the one who gets the call,
issue, and then we have to evaluate them. But I still think that there should be some funding, perhaps, or some movement towards what do we do in this meantime? Do we need more beds in the state facility? I absolutely think we do need more beds in the state mental health facility. Is there opportunities in the jail? I don't know what they have in the jail at this point. We used to have a lot of mental health counselors and doctors over there. And I'm assuming they still have those things. I'm pretty sure that they do. Is that enough? I don't know. It just seems like we continuously contact people. We continuously have to deal with people that have that have mental illness. So much so that we have our own mental
right.
health unit,
right.
a co-responding unit, and it's working very well. I talked to them. I know you're probably ready to go to break.
I'm listening.
Talking
it's
up
good.
A storm here. But
people need to hear this because it's a big problem in our society.
Yeah, in 1 month, the mental health unit responded to 200 calls. And these are 200 calls that our deputies that are assigned to routine patrol would have been going to. So there's certainly a need for this. And if I can, I'll probably enhance that. And because, again, we're taking a lot of these calls away from the deputies. Some of them are proactive. Some of those are accepting calls that would go to, a deputy that's assigned to uniform patrol.
Last quick thing before I let you go, only because we are engaged in war with Iran right now, and the natural concern that people have is about terroristic threats or, you know, sympathetic. It doesn't have to be some sleeper cell. It could be whatever, like, you know, we may have seen in Texas. And I know you may not always be able to say everything that you do know, but is there anything you do know that you can tell us about, you know, FBI briefings, anything that's, you know, to what degree we should be concerned here at home about the impact of what's going on over there?
Well, I think to say that everyone's on a heightened sense of alert is probably not saying enough.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that we have had numerous conversations just yesterday alone with our intelligence partners. And if there's something that we feel like is a concern, we're certainly going to take it serious. We're asking people, not just if you see something, but if you hear something as well, to say something to us. We can get that information to the proper authorities and do what we need to do to make sure that our community is safe.
By the way, on that note, I was at home last night prepping the show, and I heard bang, 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 bang in near my home, and I called it in because that's what you told me to do, call it in. You know, I didn't want it to be it was clearly gunfire. And I didn't want it to be the gunfire incident that nobody called in, you know, because you don't have ShotSpotter in my neighborhood, you know. So I wanted to at least tell, and, you know, the deputy who did a great job, a non-emergency number I called. Right. And, you know, and he's like, do you want your name? And I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, I'll give it if you need
just
it.
Just check and make sure.
I just want to make sure the sheriff tells me to call you. So I called you, you know.
And I hear it in my house as well.
Yeah.
And I listen and then I wait and I listen a little bit more. And it's like, was that a shotgun?
Because the guy asked me, is there screams? You know, is there anything else? I'm like, no. And it's kind of to the south and I don't really know. But
is there yelling associated with it?
Right. Yeah. And it was pretty close. You know, it's funny. Before I call, as I was on the phone with your desk deputy or whatever, my wife had gotten a text from the neighbor. She's like, did you hear that? You know, and I'm like, that's you know, how things work.
Ring doorbell thing.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
the same thing. It's like, have anyone heard that? And because we live near a roadway, a major roadway, a relatively major roadway. And a lot of times cars are backfiring and it's loud. And, you know, we just wait and see.
Yeah. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate the work keeping us all safe and informed. Congratulations again on the Pioneer Award, even if you don't get a jacket. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
No, thank you. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3. John was asked, you were just asking me right at the end there, you know, the interview we did yesterday, you know, could it have been a car downshifting something? No, 100% no. Sound was very distinctive. You know, a lot of times you hear a noise and you think, was it gunfire? My wife and I heard that noise and we're like, mm-hmm.
And y'all both thought.
Oh, yeah. The only question is, do we call it in? You know, and we did. And, you know, there's not much they can do necessarily, but I didn't want to not report it. You know, I didn't want to not report the report. Oh, by the way, did you see I don't think you can still see it in the sky. Do you see that weird cloud pattern that was out in the eastern sky this morning? I took some photos and put it up on Facebook. It was just kind of it looked like to me, if you took a, like a needle, you know, from needle and thread and blew it up the size of a cloud and put it up in the sky. That's kind of what it looked like a little bit. And I had somebody send me in photos from I-10 and some people are sending photos from elsewhere. They're saying like they think it was a SpaceX thing. I don't know. It was weird looking though. It was very like if the aliens came and visited and they were like doing donuts in our parking lot in the airspace.
I mean, so should I show you a picture and you describe it to me?
All right, John. So I got sent this good picture. How would you describe that except what I just said? If the aliens came and did donuts in the airspace, it'd look like that, right?
Yeah.
Remember in heavy metal when those guys get high on cocaine and they drive the spaceship all over the place?
Yes.
It looks like
That's interesting.
I don't know what that is, but, you know, it was kind of wild to see this morning. All right, 5:53 here on News
Radio
90.
Can I show you other pictures and then we can, you know?
No, we're not going to play that game.
Okay.
I don't think that's a good game for us to play. I don't want to see random pictures off your phone. under any circumstances. Hey, if you're thinking about a home improvement project you got to do, or putting it off, or it's, you know, been on your honey-do list for how long? Well, you know, she'll tell you soon. Anyway, Pensacola Hardware has got your stuff. And not just your stuff, okay? They obviously have your stuff. And they have, you know, if it's not out front, it'll be in the back. And then if it's not in the back, it'll be in the back of the back. Because they have, you know how Grandpa has his, like, tools? You know, maybe your dad has, like, the, you know, all of the accumulated material from the ages. And then he inherited that stuff from his grandpa. Well, that's Pensacola Hardware. Like, I mean, not the main store, but then the massive backroom warehouse is floor to ceiling, two different floors, shelf of all kinds of stuff. I mean, they've been in business since 1851 for 175 years. They have a lot of stuff back there. And my point is, they know how to solve the problem. They have the, they don't have to order. They're going to have it in stock for, unless it's like a specialized product that, you know, is designed for this particular build that you're doing. I mean, that's obviously different, but they can do that too. Okay, if the engineer, the architect comes to you for something that has to be, they can do that. They do it all the time. So my point is, you go there and they not just have the stuff, but they have the advice and they can tell you, okay, you also need to do this and this because you're going to come back to us two or three times if you don't. And you don't want that. You want to go one time to the hardware store. I know it's a pipe dream, but, you know, there it is. It's possible. Pensacola Hardware, advice, stuff, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Celebrate Easter at Great Southern, Angelina's Supper Club, Limona di Primavera, A Celebration of Spring, and so much more. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
If I only had 3 days to do this, I have to go deep undercover. I'm undercover deep now. This is deep, but I'm going deeper. I don't want no more money or nothing, but I'm going deep, 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 deep undercover.
Good morning, 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. A little Robert Palmer. We need that because that's what Grandpa Rock means. Now I can see that. That's more pop, you know. That's not, I mean, you know, if you learned it from the radio, it's different. 437-1620. I'm getting lots of people text me in pictures of this. What it may be was rocket plume from SpaceX. Man, that's a long way away. And what was it doing flying like that?
I don't know. I don't think
it
was SpaceX.
I can't make sense of any of this right now. But, you know, whatever. I don't know what it was. I don't have a better explanation. Off in the eastern sky. Look on Facebook. You'll see pictures. David Wayne. Oh, sorry. We don't do that anymore. I'll do it now anyway. David, you want a headline?
Absolutely. Why not?
All right, cool.
So nearly two dozen states are giving GoFundMe 2 weeks to prove the fundraising site is not plagiarizing donation web pages for taking tips from donors. New Jersey State Attorney General Jennifer Davenport and 21 other attorneys general joined charitable regulators in sending a letter to the fundraising site demanding they show all unauthorized donation web pages and disclose all info. Such as who donations were made to. And AndrewDictionary.com is adding, Swiftie into its digital archive. The term is officially defined as a fan of the music of Taylor Swift.
So oh, is that what it means?
I would have never guessed, right? Yeah, right? But now never, there's an official definition, and we understand.
You got a list of any other words they're adding besides that? When they always add new words all the time.
That's the only one I've got right here. But right, you know what? We'll have more later on for next hour.
I always feel like it's, you know, when the movie shows up on USA Network version of cutting edge words, like it's always, it's either words that nobody's ever heard of before. Or it's words we've been using for a decade. There's no in-between. There's no, you know, word from this last year is kind of how I feel about it. I don't know if that was a good metaphor or not, but I used it. I'm going to stick with it. 559 on News Radio 92.3. We got a really interesting update from the commander of Central Command, CENTCOM, here in Florida yesterday about the ongoing war in Iran. We'll share that with you coming up next.